So if we would turn to the book of John, John chapter number 15, and I pray as you have your Bibles, you'll follow along with us today so we bring the message from the Word of God. My wife had prescribed me to sit down today and preach, and I just feel real good, and I think that I'll be all right. If I don't make it through it, I'll never hear the end of it. Either way, literally, I guess. But I think I'm all right. If I have to stop and go get my stool, I will. But I want to try it standing up if I can. I have preached sitting down before. Many of you know for months my foot surgery put me down. But my feet are good, and right now I feel good. So I'm going to hopefully preach standing up and be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. You know, when something like this happens to you, it surely makes you stop and think and take inventory. We often think sometimes, why does God allow things to happen to us? I mean, here we are trying to serve the Lord and do what He'd have us to do. Why does He allow something like that to hinder us or to slow us down? If He never did that, we would never know how to trust Him. We'd never know how to depend upon Him. And friend, today I want you to know my relationship with the Lord is much greater today than even last week, but even in the past years. And I'm thankful today for every trial and every difficulty that I've ever experienced. It's not that I'm crazy and that I enjoy those things, but it's the fact that I know that God sends things into our life to teach us what we need to know about Him. And we come to the scripture today in John chapter 15. We find the Lord teaching His disciples, and literally what He was doing was preparing them for the fact that He was about to depart this life. A little later, He would go to the cross and die, and then He would rise from the grave, and He would be victorious over the grave, and what a wonderful blessing that is. But He would leave them and ascend into heaven, and of course with the promise of coming again. And so here in the scripture we find Jesus explains to the disciples many things. He explained to them before He left how to get and keep a clean heart. It's so important today for us to have a clean heart. I tell you today, there's so many things in the world that distract us and sidetrack us and even try to destroy us. And we need to beware today that God wants us to live in a world today where our minds and our hearts are kept upon Him. I've had a little bit of problems this week with my physical heart, but I'm glad today that God controls all my heart, and I want to love Him with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind, and I want my heart to be clean. I know how to keep it clean, for the Bible said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, according to the Word of God. Not only did He teach the disciples about a clean heart, but He taught them about a praying heart. I tell you today, if you don't know how to pray, you get in a circumstance as like I was in last week, or perhaps some of you have been, and you'll learn to pray. You'll learn to depend upon God and trust Him and know that He is the only answer to every problem that we ever have in our life. And I'd say today, don't wait till you have a critical something happen to you to begin to pray. The Bible teaches us that we're to pray without ceasing. Said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And by the way, I want to say this, and I mean it. It's not just cliche. But I believe today I'm standing here this morning because a bunch of you was praying for me last week. I believe God answered your prayer. I believe God's still answering your prayer. And I hope you'll continue to pray that God will lead and guide in my life. He not only talked about praying and about a clean heart, but He talked about a courageous heart. A friend, today, understand that we're in a world that we're fighting against the world, the flesh and the devil. And we're fighting against him in every way we can. But I want you to know today, God is still on the throne. He's still leading and guiding and directing us in the way that He would have us to go. Now, I want to use much of the other scripture, but I want to skip down to verse number 11. And I want to take this for my text today and hope that it'll be a blessing to you. And I'll be looking at the scripture in verses 1 through 11 as we go. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full." I want to preach to you today on the subject of a joyful heart. Needless to say, I did not know what was happening to me last week. I was kind of out of it, and of course I found out when it was all over what had transpired and what had taken place. It was something unexpected and something that I did not expect. But I tell you, when they told me about it, I had a joyful heart. I had a joyful heart because I got to see my wife again. Had a joyful heart because my grandkids came to see me while I was there, and my daughter-in-law and my son. And what a blessing it was to be able to just enjoy and to know that they were there and the blessings that they would be to us. I want to ask you the question this morning. Are your hearts filled with joy? Friend, you ought to be joyful today just because of the fact that we're alive and well. I'm taking some medicine, and it's my lungs are good. But they say that the medicine causes a sore throat, and it's acting up a little bit, so hopefully just bear with me. But you see, we ought not have joy just when things are going well. We ought to have joy when things aren't going so well. Friend, you can have joy this morning no matter where you are at or what you're doing, because understand, God knows about everything. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I was thinking the other day of about a waiter. He kind of comes along, and he holds his dishes over his head. I've often feared that he was going to drop them on me. I have had tea poured on me in a restaurant before. In fact, twice. Never had food, but I see the waiter as he comes, and I have no idea what's in his hand above that tray until he gets bumped. And when he bumps, you find out what's on the inside of that bowl or whatever it is that's up there. That's kind of the way it is in life. We never know what we really are until we get bumped, until something comes along and hinders us along the way. And we need to understand today, our joy is not in what this world has to offer. Our joy rests in the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our joy rests in the hope of heaven, our home. And I'm grateful today for what God has done. Here's what the world says about joy. They said, man, you know, if you want some joy, you need change of circumstances. You know, I'm glad today. I think back, I've been pastor now about 42 years. And I'm grateful, you know, the circumstances, the places, maybe, and the preaching, maybe it's been a little different along the way, but basically it's been the same thing for 42 years. I still believe today what I believed 42 years ago. I still preach today what I preached 42 years ago. You know why? Because God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I never change. And yet today people say, well, you know, change of circumstances, you know, take a vacation. And by the way, I'd encourage you to take a vacation. I think people need to take a vacation. I talked with the preacher this week. I was a little envious of him. He was up in Blue Ridge, and he had to go out on the deck in order that he could get a signal to talk to me. And I said, man, have a good time. Nothing wrong with a vacation, but vacations only last a short period of time, and then you're back to the real world. If you're depending on the joy of a vacation to see you through, you're just not going to get it. Somebody said, well, if I earn more money, it'll make me happy. I'll be joyful if I have it. You know, some of the happiest people I know are the poorest people in the world. I tell you, they may not have nothing, just enough to pay the bills, get them a little bit to eat, but they love the Lord with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind. Somebody said, well, joy. You know, I want to spend more money. I want to save more money. Friend, money, the Bible says, now listen, it doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And friend, today I have found, I don't have any close friends that are in these categories, but I read about movie stars and I read about football players that make millions and millions of dollars. But turn on the TV and see who's in a courtroom suing their wives, and the wives varies back and forth. Where's the happiness? Where's the joy? They don't have it. Our joy as a Christian does not rest in what this world has to offer, but only in what God has to offer. It is learning to abide in Christ so that we become fruit-bearing Christians. And that's what our text talks about, and we'll go back and read that in just a moment. Jesus said it's possible for us to have enough joy for ourselves and still have enough to share with others. Listen, people ought to know today that we're a joyful people. We ought to be happy, and we ought to be happy and thankful today that God saved us. It depends today, we see, upon our relationship with Christ. Joy is based on, first of all, our relationship with Christ. I want you to understand, joy depends on the fruitfulness for God. What is fruitfulness? Fruitfulness is the outward expression of the inner nature. My joy does not come from here. My joy comes from here. Because years ago, I accepted Christ as my Savior. He took up residence in my heart, and He's been there ever since. And I'm grateful today. But I'm going to tell you, usually, your outward expression is nothing more than a display of your inner nature. You let something happen. You let a tragedy occur. You let a sickness come around, and you'll find out just what you have on the inside, because that's what you'll see. I know a friend of mine, he went into the forestry business, and he goes out and goes through the woods and looks at trees, and he identifies trees. Brother David can probably do a lot of that himself, working on the plantation as long as he did. He could probably go through and say, this is this kind of tree, and this is this kind of bark, and all that. I personally could not recognize trees. I wouldn't know, and I know a pine tree, and I know an oak tree, but all them other trees I might not know. But if you see fruit on a tree, more than likely I can identify the fruit on the tree, right? I mean, if it's an apple tree or an orange tree or a grapefruit tree or whatever it is, I can usually identify most all the fruits. And you know, people ought to look at us and they ought to see the fruit that God has given to us in our life to help us be what we need. And we're identified by that. Fruitfulness is the same in the case of the believer. As Christians, we're to bear fruit. Now, I know what we're thinking here, and I want you to understand, I believe in the great importance of witnessing. The Bible, greatest commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We need to get people saved. We need to tell people Jesus died for them. But that's not the only fruit that we ought to bear. We can bear other fruit. I think, now again, I'm not neglecting that at all. But the fruit that we have in our life ought to be demonstrated in our life by our love and our compassion and our concern for one another and those around about us. Have you ever heard somebody say, boy, they have a sweet spirit, or they just have a glow about their face? It's no accident that that's there. It just means that what you see is the nature of the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us should be outwardly expressed. If there's a question in your mind whether somebody's a Christian, it will be because of what you see outwardly that is coming from inwardly in their life that would demonstrate perhaps they do not bear the fruit they should. Look at John 15, verse number 8. I told you we was going to look at some of these verses. Look at verse number 8. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Go up to verse 6. He said, if you abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, quite a contrast that we see in these two verses. But Jesus said he was glorified when we bear fruit. I remember hearing the message Justin preached last week on the glory of God and the glory that God has. But you know what our job is? Our job is to glorify God in everything that we do. Listen, for me, I'm human. I make mistakes. I do things sometimes I should not do. But the God I serve is an omnipotent, all-powerful, I'm not present, all being everywhere. He's a God that you can depend on, and He never makes mistakes, and He never falters along the way. And so He said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but He said, you shall ask what you will. But He said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, let me just give you an illustration here, and I want you to understand something. If you ever get attached to the vine, I believe that God gives you eternal life. Eternal life means forever. And I believe once you're saved, I believe God keeps you, and one day He comes back for you. One day He takes us home to heaven to be with Him, and what a glorious day that'll be. But basically, He said, if you abide not, in other words, in order to abide, you got to be attached. And the importance of what He says there. The second thing we notice, fruitfulness is dependent upon our relationship with Christ. Friend, today it is one of life. We are either saved or lost. We're either on our way to heaven or we're on our way to hell. I wish today that I could tell you something different. Well, I don't want to tell you nothing different than the Word, but I wish today that, we could think of something. But God has had a perfect plan in order that He might save us and give us eternal life, one day take us home to be with Him. Notice what He said in verse number 5 of John 15. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Remember, the vine is the main source. We're just the branches. We're the feeders. We're the outreach of what He could do and what He will do. But if we're not attached to the vine, He cannot use us in the way that He desires to. The connection is a vital one. Each branch is a partaker of the very life that exists in that vine. The nourishments that come from it, the help that is there, is one of entire dependence upon that vine. If you go out today, and many of you may do this quite often, you go out and you're doing some trimming, you cut down some old weeds and cut down some trees. You go back the next day and the sun's done withered them all up and they're dead. They don't have life anymore. They're not living. You know why? Because they've been detached from the vine. But I want you to notice again in verse number 5, He said, I am the vine. Remember, I am the vine. God is the vine. He's the source of our strength. He's the source of our power. He's the source of our help. He said, He that abideth in me and I in him shall bringeth forth much fruit. But look, without me ye can do nothing. Friend, I don't care how wonderful you are. I don't care how great you might be. And even as a pastor, I know I fail in so many, many ways. But I'm grateful today for God's blessings upon me. But I learned a long time ago, without Him, I can do nothing. I understand today that I'm here by the grace of God. I'm not here. Somebody said, well, you came in the flesh today. You had a desire. No, I had a desire, but my desire was to preach the Word of God. And I prayed and asked the Lord to help me. I said, Lord, if you give me the strength, I'll be glad to preach. And I'm grateful today that I believe that He's given me that strength that I need. And I tell you today, I believe this. And you can say what you will, but I believe this is a testimony of what God can do in our life. Listen, I was not able, I was not physically able, I was not probably in the place that I needed to be, but God has enabled me and helped me to be here. But without the necessary nourishment, the branches cannot bear fruit. And I tell you today how we need to bear fruit, and talking about tracts a while ago and passing out gospel tracts. Friend, today there's a lost and dying world. Jesus is coming soon. I believe today that the trumpet could sound at any moment, and the vine and the branch must remain intact for this to happen. And we may be attached to the vine, but we may not be drawing from the resources of the vine the way we ought to be drawing from the resources of the vine, because our life is not where it needs to be, and we're not doing the things that we need to do. And I realize today also that it is one of great possibilities. This matter of bearing fruit is one of great possibilities. Look at verse number 7. He said, if you abide in me, this is the verse I got ahead of myself a while ago. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Boy, that's a strong statement, isn't it? He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Now understand today, God's not saying, okay, this is a free-for-all. You get all you want, anything you like, just ask me for it and you can have it. But every time we pray, we must pray according to God's will. If it be your will, Lord, would you allow this to happen to me? But you know what? The greatest thing we can pray for is for fruit. We could pray for the lost. We could pray for those that are in need. The promise is one of the promise is one of power and prayer. Friend, I believe, and I've said that again, and I can't emphasize it enough. I tell you, last week, going back and just recalling what I'd went through and what had happened to me, I understood today that my God is a great God. He's an awesome God. He's a powerful God. He's one that I can depend on. I mentioned this Wednesday night, and I think he was telling me the truth, but the surgeon that they called in, he told me basically, he said, you didn't have much time left. And I got there. My blood was pouring out and it was choking my heart off where it wouldn't pump. And anyway, all of that. But he said, when I got there, he said it was close. But I tell you, it could have got as close as it needed to be, but God still had his hand right where it needed to be in order that he might perform the miracle that he did. And by the way, I look at it as a miracle. I believe today in the miracles of God, the blessings of God, and I believe I stand here today because of God's blessings, the promise of the power in prayer. Friend, we have not because we ask not. And how we need to pray like we've never prayed before. We need to pray more for those who are sick. We need to pray more for those who are lost. We need to pray for those around about us that have needs in their lives. And thirdly, our relationship depends upon our abiding in Christ. He said in chapter 15, verse number 10, he said, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The focus of attention here is the words of Christ and our obedience to him. Somebody said, how do you abide? You listen, you hear, you obey, and you do. The Bible said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. His words must become the focus of our thoughts and actions. Everything that we do, we must understand that we're to serve him and be faithful and serve him in any possible way that we can. Our focus should be, Lord, what are you saying? And then when the Lord tells us what he's saying, then we put it into practice. Friend, we're not here today just to pass time. We're not here today just so we could say we please God. We came to church. Listen, I don't know that coming to church, I know it pleases God, and don't misunderstand me. But that's the minimum we can do for what he's done for us. And truly, there's no great big deal in our life. We must fill our minds with his word and then allow it to influence our wills. I tell you today, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. And then fourthly, our abiding will result in his blessings. Verse 7 again, I've already read it, but I just quoted it. So he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. The blessing of answered prayer. I tell you today, don't raise your hand, but how many of you has had an answered prayer this week? How many of us had an answered prayer last week? Listen, somebody said, well, I hadn't had no answered prayer. Well, let me ask you this, have you been praying? It helps to pray. If you want an answer, you got to pray. But the blessing is when you abide in him, God will hear you. Friend, God loves you. He loved you enough to give his son on Calvary to die for your sin. And I want you to know not only does he love you enough to save you, but he loves you enough to keep you. He loves you enough to provide for you and to give you what you need along the way. And then not only abiding in Christ results in the blessing of answered prayer, but what I'm preaching about this morning, it gives us the fulfillment of joy. Look what he said. Now, and again, remember that he's writing these to his disciples. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. What he's saying is, don't be joyful part of the time, be joyful all the time. I want my joy, I want the joy of the Lord to remain in me. I hear preachers sometimes, and guess on occasion I've said it myself. You look around, you see somebody, you say, man, I remember when he got saved. He was on fire. But what happened? He lost his joy. You know why he lost his joy? Because probably he quit bearing fruit. And because he quit bearing fruit, he was not abiding in the vine and getting what he needed, the power and the strength to do the job that God had called him to do. I tell you today, I like the song the kids sing. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And I tell you today, honestly, I say that with all my heart, I do have the joy of the Lord in my heart. I went to the doctor on Thursday, and there was a lady that did an echocardiogram. She was just a nurse. And she said, man, your heart's beating good. And I said, well, praise the Lord. I'm glad to hear that. And I'm grateful for it. And I want my heart to be. But I want the joy of the Lord to be seen in my life. And in everything I do as I turn to him. Then thirdly and quickly, our abiding in him gives the blessing of prayer. the fulfillment of joy, but it releases the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. I close with this. In Galatians 5, 22, 23, the Bible said, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now here's the fruit. I know fruit is fruit when we see people saved. Don't misunderstand that. We need to continue to do that. We need to witness. We need to pass out tracts. We need to preach the gospel. But yet, he said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. You know why we need to reach the lost? Because we have love in our heart. Because we have joy in our heart. And we have peace in our heart. There's no greater thrill than seeing a soul trust Christ as their Savior. And friend, today we need to be busy about doing the work God has given us to do. You see, joy is a byproduct of living as a fruit-bearing Christian. I'm going to tell you, I go back, and I've had 42 years. Yes, there's some things that I might have changed along the way. I'd have done a little bit different. I've matured a little bit, and I've seen things maybe in a different light. But I'm going to tell you something. For 42 years, I have experienced the greatest joy of my life serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for all that He's done. And as a result of that, some people think we Christians ought to walk around with our heads down and, you know, just act so poor and feeble and so sad. Friend, lift up your head. Our redemption draweth nigh. Jesus has arisen from the grave. He's alive and well, and He's coming back to take us home to be with Him. I don't believe that the fruit of the Spirit is something that we ought to seek directly. And bear me out before you say anything. You say, well, not seek it directly. No, it ought to be an everyday part of our life. It ought not to be on Thursday, I'm going to witness for Christ. But it ought to be, Lord, whatever time you put somebody in front of me and give me the opportunity, I'm going to witness to them. And live in the spirit and the mind of serving Christ daily. It's an outgrowth of a personal living relationship with Christ. Friend, today, do you have joy? If you don't, it's available. But it's only available through the Lord Jesus Christ. The world does not know the kind of joy that we know, and neither will they, unless they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm grateful today. He said, verse number 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Friend, remember the day you got saved. Let's stir it up, refresh it, and do what God would have us to do.